Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Our broadcast today is entitled, Don't Be a Nabal, and will be taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, as we introduce today's broadcast, we'll say, as we often do, that we would love to hear from you here on Words of Grace. If you're a regular listener or you're a new listener, it would be our privilege to hear from you. You can go to flintriverpbc.org, which is our church website, and find a variety of ways to get in contact with us. Either way you choose, whether through the mail or over the internet, we'd love to hear from you, and we look forward to hearing from you soon. On to our message, turning to 1 Samuel chapter 25. In this chapter, we find an exchange of words and behaviors between David after he was anointed king of Israel, but before he had officially taken the throne, and a wicked, foolish man named Nabal. This occurred in David's life in the time period when he was on the run from King Saul. You might remember, if you're familiar with this story, that out of jealousy, King Saul attempted to kill David. He was jealous of David. David was his harpist. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was a musician, and he was employed by Saul. And it was his job to play to lift the spirits of King Saul after God had rejected him as king, and an evil spirit had been sent to trouble him. Saul attempted to strike David through with a javelin, and he was livid in jealousy, as women would say, that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And because of that, because Saul tried to kill him, that David escaped, and he spent much of his life on the run from King Saul. There were a couple of occasions when David could have taken Saul's life, but respecting God, he would not lay a hand to the Lord's anointed king, because Saul was also anointed as king over Israel. And David, in his integrity, merely let Saul go a couple of times. As 1 Samuel 25 begins, Samuel, the man that was the prophet who anointed David as king over Israel, actually passed away. And so Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now, here in the wilderness is where David is going to come in contact with this man, Nabal, who is the antagonist, or perhaps we should say the bad example in our broadcast today. As you see in verse 2, Nabal was a very, very wealthy man. Let's take a survey of his wealth. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, when Nabal is said to be shearing his sheep, we shouldn't mistake that as saying that Nabal was out there individually by himself shearing each of these 3,000 sheep. Now, if you read down in the remainder of the story, verse 7, for instance, Nabal employs other shearers. So, in addition to all the livestock that Nabal had, he had many servants. And so this was a very, very wealthy man. His servants are taking care of his sheep. He's out shearing his sheep. And this is what's taking place when David's men come to him. Continuing in verse 3, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Nabal is introduced to us as a man who is churlish. He's a wealthy man, but he's also a churlish man. You might be thinking, what in the world does that word churlish mean? Well, I'm using the King James Bible, and that's the word that the translators used. It was a word that was much more common in 1611 at the time of this translation. But the word simply means rough and rude. And so this man is a rough man. He is a rude man. Modern synonyms that we might use, he's a nasty person. He's just a disagreeable, hostile, mean person. And he's one that no one can get along with. In fact, as we go through this story today on Words of Grace, one thing that we will see over and over, every man and every woman who knows this guy thinks ill of him. Now, he's the bad example today. So you and I, as followers of Christ, we need never be a Nabal. We need to never be a churlish man, a rough man, a rude man, a person that everyone else looks at and thinks, I don't want to be near this guy. I don't want to deal with this guy. That's the type of person that Nabal was. Now, one thing that we notice about him, and there's an important point to be drawn from this as well, you notice that he is of the house of Caleb. Caleb was a godly man. In fact, Caleb was one of the two men who were not under 20 who was allowed to go into Canaan's land when the rest of the people over 20 died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Caleb and Joshua, two faithful men, were allowed to go in at 80-something years old because they believed God's promises going into Canaan's land. So this man actually comes from a good godly man such as Caleb. The point that's important to be made from there, this serves as a reminder to us that a good man may have foolish or wicked offspring. This particular man, Nabal, was a descendant of Caleb. A good thing for you and I to memorize, God doesn't have grandchildren. So just because a person is a child of God, Isaac, for instance, doesn't mean that his child is always going to necessarily be a born-again child of God, such as Esau. So God, not having any grandchildren, doesn't look at Nabal and say, well, because Caleb was a faithful man, then everyone that ever descended from him is going to be a faithful person. That simply isn't how this works. We're all Nabals by nature. And as a brand plucked from the fire, as it were, God does rescue each and every one of his covenant children. But just because someone's faithful like Caleb doesn't mean that everyone that is in his lineage from that time on is going to be a faithful person. This Nabal is a very, very wicked man. He's a hard person to deal with. And interestingly enough, the name Nabal actually means fool, which is going to come into the discussion later on in this chapter. Now, might I just say to the young parents out there who are anticipating children and looking forward to having children in your future, as a general rule, we don't intentionally name our children names that have a negative connotation. There are some obvious biblical examples of people that no one names their children after anymore. There were lots of little boys named Judah or Judas up until the time of Christ, but the word Judas, the name Judas, has been one that people don't often choose as a name for their children, even though there were many good men in Jesus' day named Judas. There were two apostles named Judas. One was a good man. The other was a devil. You rarely, if ever, hear of anyone named Esau, do you? Or Cain? Or think of some negatives. Have you ever known a woman named Jezebel? I have known of some women named Delilah, but even that's an unpopular name, simply because we try not to name people after people in the Bible who were not good folks. Well, this man Nabal, this word Nabal means fool. You just have to wonder, did the parents name him Nabal? Or maybe was this a name that he came to be called by at some time in his life because he was a fool? I suppose his parents named him this, and what a namesake that he lived up to. What a title that he lived up to as the word fool in the Hebrew language. This name, again, Nabal, means fool, and he certainly lived up to it. David comes to this Nabal, and you can read this in verse 4. He heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David had heard about this man, and he's going to come to him and ask him for help. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get ye up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shalt ye say to him that liveth in prosperity," Nabal's a man that lives in prosperity, "Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast." In other words, they greet him in peace. "We come to you in peace." David continues, "And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel." In other words, they've been over near where we are, and we were kind to them, we treated them well, we didn't take anything from them. "Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake these words to Nabal, according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. So they relay this message to Nabal, "Please give us help. We need something from you." As Nabal hears these words, now the words of a good, godly person in Israel in that day, understanding especially that Samuel had anointed David over Israel. David is the rightful king over the nation of Israel. David's seed would rule over Israel and then over Judah as the kingdom split into the northern and southern kingdom, as long as there was a physical nation. And Christ, the Lord Jesus, the son of David, sits on the throne of David even today. So a good, godly Israelite ought to have done whatever he could have done to help David along at this point in David's life. But this man Nabal hears this. He hears David's servants, and listen to this wicked answer. "Who is David?" I read a good paraphrase of that in a commentary. We might put that in the modern way of saying it as, "Who does David think he is? Who is David? Who does he think he is? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's men, his young men, turned their way and went again and came and told David all those things. So Nabal basically says, "Well, who is David? Who does he think he is? Who is the son of Jesse? I don't know anything about this young man. How many servants break off?" He makes an excuse. "How many servants break off and leave their masters and expect me to help them? What business is it of mine? Why should I want to help some stranger named David?" Now, by the way, those might be the thoughts that seem familiar to you when others ask you to help. They certainly do me from time to time when there's a need that someone might have. We immediately in our minds run to skepticism and suspicion, but that isn't how God would have us to be. He would have us to be harmless as doves. "If one compel us to go with them a mile, we ought to go with them too," Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And this Nabal is a very selfish man. He is a very greedy man, and he hears that. He makes excuses, and he basically says, "Why in the world would I help this David? I don't know him. I don't owe him anything, and so many servants leave their masters and want help. I'd be out here helping everybody if I helped this David character, this son of Jesse." Well, that didn't please David, and beyond that, that didn't please the Lord. God is displeased, and God would judge Nabal for this. When David hears these words, he actually says, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men. This is David's little personal military, if you will, and 200 abode by the stuff. So David says, "You over here, you stay with the stuff, and I'll take with me these 400 men, and we're going to go deal with Nabal." Now, here enters this beautiful, wise young woman named Abigail. Abigail learns of this in verses 14 through 17. The young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Now, we still use that expression, railed on someone today. If someone has ever railed on you, you know how severe of language they use to you. They, another expression would be, raked you over the coals. They absolutely just chewed you out, to use yet another metaphor or idiom. These people tell Abigail that David went to salute our master, and our master railed on David. But the men were very good unto us, referring to David's men as they've come across them. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the fields, these people have been good to us. They've blessed us. They've been kind to us. They were a wall unto us, both by day and night, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. David's men had protected Nabal's servants. Did you catch that? They were a wall unto us night and day. So what David is basically doing, he's not asking for a handout. He's saying, look, we've helped y'all. We've helped you guys. And now we need help. And I would like for you to help us. There's sort of a mutual relationship that David is expecting because they have been kind to Nabal's men. But listen to what these servants of Nabal say to Abigail next. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. These servants say, Nabal, our master, he is so wicked. He is such a son of Belial. Calling someone a son of Belial is like calling them the seed of Satan. He's simply saying, you're of your father, the devil, as Jesus would say to people in John chapter 8. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man. And they say that he is such an evil man, such a son of Belial, that a man cannot speak to him. He's so unreasonable that you can't even talk with him. There's not even a way to talk with him because he's so nasty to everyone. Again, he's churlish, which is to say rude or rough, unreasonable, wicked, nasty, etc. This is just not a good person. Abigail hears this, and she rushes to make intercession with David for all that are in this house. Now, she intercedes on behalf of her husband, but everyone else here in this household is also at risk because David and his men, well, they were going to go seek vengeance against this man, Nabal. Abigail rushes to David. She saw him. She hasted and she got off the donkey that she was on. She fell before David. She bowed to the ground. She bows before him and she falls at his feet. Now, this is what she says, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience. Hear the words of thy handmaid. What a beautiful intercession this woman offers for those that are in the household of Nabal. She basically says, David, judge me and deal harshly with me, but not those that are a part of the house to which I belong. Now, if you're familiar with the story of redemption, that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. God judged him as if he were guilty of our iniquity. So this young, wise, beautiful woman, Abigail, she's literally acting like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when she comes to David and says, put this on me, don't judge them. She's very kind. Upon me, Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. She intercedes in a most beautiful way to David. Well, this melts David's heart, by the way. It absolutely melts his heart. And to get a little ahead in the story, David does not go against Nabal the way that he intended to in destruction and vengeance because of the intercession of Abigail. Abigail continues speaking in verse 25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. Listen to what she says. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Do you remember that the word Nabal actually means fool? So Abigail uses that to say, as his name is Nabal, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. I didn't know that you had sent the men. I didn't see them. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which is God, as the Lord God liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. In other words, she anticipates that God is going to deal with Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaiden has brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. Now, as Abigail had come to him, she comes with much provision, much food. And so she brings all of this food to David. She says, here is food, here is wine, here is bread and figs and corn. And she brings all of this food to David and his men. And then she apologizes, she begs forgiveness, she intercedes on behalf, and she says the same thing about Nabal that the servants did. Do you notice everyone around this guy notices that he's a son of Belial, he's unreasonable, he's hard to deal with? A good name is to be chosen above choice riches. And yet this man, this Nabal, well, he has a terrible name. Some men's sins are open and going beforehand. This man lives in such a way that everyone knows what type of a person he is, even before meeting him in the flesh. The servants call him a son of Belial. His wife calls him a son of Belial. Everyone knows that he is just a foolish, evil, wicked man. Abigail ends this petition by once again asking for forgiveness in verse 28. She blames herself for not seeing the servants of David and helping them along the way because her husband is such a fool. Now, I just have the mentality here that, and I want you husbands to listen to me carefully, this poor woman, Abigail, has spent whatever time she has been with this man cleaning up his messes and going between him and others, dealing with others kindly because he is such a fool. I get the impression that continually in her life, this has been her story. There's one mess after another, after another, after another that she has to fix that's been caused by her foolish husband, Nabal. And this is the last straw, by the way, with the Lord and Nabal, because before this ends, God is going to judge him. In verse 32, David's response to Abigail is one of beauty and blessing. David says to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent me this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice." Remember that as we introduced Abigail, she was one who had great understanding and was of a beautiful countenance. This is a very wise, beautiful young woman. David says to her, "Blessed be thy advice. Blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me." You see, had David gone in vengeance, Abigail would not have been spared. And David recognizes that God sent her to stop him from destroying this household. There had not been left unto Nabal by this morning anyone. David basically says that had she not come out, there wouldn't be left anyone in his household. So David received of her hand that which she had brought up and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and I have accepted thy person." David recognizes that the providence of God is at work. This young woman is a godly woman. He accepts her advice, and she has just delivered her entire household and all that Nabal had from the wrath of David. So Abigail comes home to bring this story of Abigail and Nabal and David to a close. She comes home, and he was drunk. You read this in verse 36. He had a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and his heart was merry within him. He was very drunken. And so she didn't tell him anything, less or more, until morning light. She saves the message that she has for him. But when it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, he had sobered up, as it were, and his wife had told him these things, listen to this, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. That's a very interesting expression, that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. Some people believe that he perhaps had a heart attack and was comatose for a period of days. Some believe that he suffered a stroke. And by the expression, his heart died within him, it didn't have reference to the actual beating organ, as it many times does not. But the heart in Scripture is the seat of human emotion. It's the core of our emotional and spiritual being. And so when a man takes heart, his countenance is improved. If you're a hard-hearted person, you're a mean person, his heart died within him may mean that he had a major catastrophic stroke and he laid there as a stone dormant until his body finally died. But as soon as she spoke to him and told him what she had done, what David was going to do, and the fact that more than likely God was against him in this, Nabal dies. He has his medical issue, and then 10 days later, God ultimately smote him, and he died. David hears that Nabal was dead, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." In other words, God dealt with him, and I didn't have to resort to evil or calamity or judgment. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Abigail went with David, this beautiful, young, wise woman. She went with David and actually became the wife of David after the death of her foolish, wicked husband, Nabal. David took her to be his wife. A few takeaways from this story of David and Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was a greedy, selfish, rude, evil fool. Never, ever be like Nabal. God expects his people, his followers, in that day, his physical nation of Israel, and we see this clearly revealed all throughout the law, God expects his people to be kind. He expects his people to be thankful. He expects his people to be giving. And he expects his people to be reasonable. Nabal wasn't kind. He was rude. He was churlish. He certainly wasn't thankful. David had protected Nabal's men when they were out in Carmel, and he wasn't thankful for that. He certainly wasn't giving, but he refused to give David any help, all because he's an unreasonable man. Never, ever let it be said of God's people that they are selfish, greedy, rude, evil, unreasonable fools. God expects for us to be like his son Jesus, kind and loving, meek and lowly. Nabal should have been happy to help David because of their experience in Carmel. Number two, Abigail, this dear woman, was an intercessor. As God's children, we are to be intercessors. We are to go before God and plead the causes of those who have troubles and issues in our own lives. Abigail goes to David. She prevents the slaughter of everyone in Nabal's house, including Nabal, at the hand of David, something that even David was thankful for. And she goes and does a kind work of compassion and charity upon all the men of David. And then lastly, David's men had behaved themselves with integrity this entire time by not robbing Nabal's men or stealing from Nabal's men. They protected Nabal's men. In this story, we see a very clear line between that which is good and that which is evil. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's obvious for us to know which of those two types of people to be. May we be more like David. May our young women be more like Abigail. May we as servants of God be more like David's servants who, in his presence or in his absence, behave themselves with uprightness of heart and integrity. Again, I'm Ben Winslet, thanking you for listening to Words of Grace today, inviting you to write and let me know that you've received the broadcast and also to tune in again next week at this time. Until then, may the Lord's richest blessings be yours, is my prayer.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. Address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.